He's got an opinion and he's not afraid to share it. Now, sharing his lunch? That's a different story. Here's the healthy skeptic, Dr. Larry Kaskel, MD.
Approximately 1 in 68 kids have been identified with an autism spectrum disorder. We'll call that ASD. It occurs in all races, all ethnic backgrounds, and social groups. In addition, ASDs are almost 5 times more common in boys. It's because of these huge statistics that my next guest is joining me, Dr. Michael Cameron, expert on autism, and we're going to talk a little bit about how to assess kids to see if they have autism and how to treat them. Dr. Cameron, I'm going to start with the first one. How does one go about assessing a child? Is it obvious? Does the parent come in and say something's not right usually, or is the doctor the one who has to broach the subject that, you know, I think your kid's a little, something seems not right. How does that go? How does that conversation usually go down?
Dr. Kaskel, you're spot on with that comment. It's typically the mom or dad that's noticing that the development is just off. And that could take the form of the child just not being affectionate, not making eye contact or avoiding eye contact, just not being snuggly and approaching individuals as your typically developing child would. Many times it's also picked up by a neighbor, and what I find very, very often is picked up by a preschool teacher, because mm-hmm. preschool teachers come in contact with so many children. They have a really good sense of what normal childhood development is and what child development looks like when a child is on the spectrum. So oftentimes picked up by either the family or somebody in the extended family, a neighbor or a preschool teacher. With respect
Is there a disorder that we've named for parents that don't want to recognize it, that want to deny it and postpone diagnosis? I would think that that is quite common also, because they would see that as a defect in them.
It is pretty common, and what often happens is that they receive validation too by a primary care doctor. That primary care doctor may say, it's just your child's just slow to develop language. You know, don't be too mm-hmm. concerned. I'm not seeing any serious signs yet. And that doctor himself or herself may not be especially educated around autism spectrum disorder, nor would they necessarily be using any kind of the diagnostic tools. For example, the modified checklist of autism in toddlers, what's also referred to as affectionately as the MCHAT. So they may be making those comments independent of any thoroughgoing knowledge regarding the development of a child on the spectrum and what that child looks like. So, yeah, it's denial, Dr. Kaskel. You know, a lot of times we see denial in family members, and that can be validated by a primary care doctor or pediatrician.
So in 2014, what is state-of-the-art diagnosis consist of? Who should be making the diagnosis? Who should the parent take their child to? What should they be Googling to find the right place to take their kid?
The families that are listening will find resources in local hospitals, a children's hospital, for example, whether you be in Boston or Los Angeles. These hospitals have diagnosticians and individuals that will either rule in or rule out the diagnosis. If the family happens to be in California, for example, that family may go to the local regional center that is part of their catchment area. However, regardless of whether a family goes to a hospital or a regional center, those diagnosticians are going to use the gold standard tools, one of which is referred to as the Autism Diagnostic Observation Schedule, also referred to as the ADOS. That tool will be used to confirm whether or not the child being presented to them, or adolescent, some individuals are diagnosed later, they'll rule in or rule out the diagnosis for the family member using a tool such as the Autism Diagnostic Observation Schedule.
So once the diagnosis is made, is there good treatment? Is there a cure, or are we just looking at caring for it?
Yeah, I'm glad you're posing that question. autism is not curable. Autism is treatable, but the autism does not go away. And this is something that, you know, I feel very passionate about, because families who are supporting an individual on the spectrum, the healthy families that I work with are not looking to banish the autism. It's part of their world. It's part of their life and always will be. But you can build compensatory skills. You can build good skills and abilities in that individual so that they can thrive in their lives. One of the things I want to point out, Dr. Kaskel, is that this is a spectrum. Which means that there's a wide range of individuals in terms of the presentations. So you got over half of people diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder that are falling into the category of normal intelligence or above normal intelligence. So these are individuals that are they're in college and in employment situations and in master's and PhD programs even. Now, there's another half of these individuals that will fall on the other end of the spectrum, the continuum. And these individuals will be nonverbal. They may have presentations that make them very different with respect to their social behavior and also their behavioral presentations. So autism doesn't go away. It is treatable. You can build compensatory skills. And with respect to state of the science in terms of doing that, it really requires an interdisciplinary team involving speech and language pathologists, occupational therapists, physical therapists, and experts in the field of applied behavior analysis. And regarding that latter point.
Yeah.
Go ahead. The applied behavior analytic approach is the one that's endorsed by the Surgeon General in terms of being the most effective and efficient for the treatment of individuals with autism spectrum disorder.
I have a follow-up silly question, and forgive me, but I'm going to ask it. When autistic children grow up and they become adults, do they worry about passing this on to their children, even though it's probably not passed on that way?
They do, Larry. This is a concern of adults with autism, and you give me an opportunity to point out another piece of research coming out of University of California, Davis, by Dr. Judy Van De Water. She has developed what's referred to as the maternal antibody-related autism test, which is a blood-based test, a non-invasive blood-based test, whereby it's found that there is a certain antibody protein combination that is correlated with autism spectrum disorder. So for those individuals worried about whether or not they're going to have a child, Dr. Judy Van De Water has developed a test that will be available in January 2015 to test the blood to make a determination as to whether this antibody protein combination exists, which points to the likelihood of having a child on the spectrum. And this can be done pre-pregnancy, this can be done during the family planning stage, or it can be done during pregnancy. It doesn't matter. The mom can be tested at any time.
We have one more minute. Drugs and autism. If you had to pick two drugs that are actually helpful and of benefit, what would they be? I know it's a spectrum. I know everybody doesn't need one, but top two that you have seen most beneficial.
One of the things that these individuals present with are high levels of anxiety. So I would put anti-anxiety agents in, from a pharmacological standpoint, into the area where this is something families look at, and also antipsychotics such as risperidone is an agent that is often used, and it's one that the FDA has found to be effective.
Dr. Michael Cameron, thank you so much for coming on the show today. For more information about autism, go to pacificchildandfamily.com. I'm Dr. Larry Kaskel, the Healthy Skeptic on Radio MD, reminding you never let anyone do your thinking for you. Stay skeptical, my friends, and stay well.